Today, what I would like to do is deliver a message on the attack on grace. The attack on grace. The more I see and hear and the more acquainted I become with the Bible, it's very clear to me that not only is the gospel under heavy attack, but we see that other terms as well, such as believe, as well as repentance. Repentance has been for a long time. But all four of these terms, grace, gospel, believe, as on Jesus, and repentance are all directly linked to salvation itself. So we can understand why the devil, the father of lies, would want to distort God's truth, God's reality, into something other than what truth is, so that souls will be damned, so that salvations will not occur. He's trying to confuse the issue, and unfortunately, has done a very good job. But this attack on grace, especially, I would like to focus in upon. It is very common that people think that grace is unmerited favor. It's concisely defined that way, and there are illustrations that are readily given, even by secular sources. They're called grace periods. For example, if you don't pay your electric bill, there will be a time period before they actually shut your power off. And they call that time period, before you make payment, a grace period. And by that type of example or that type of illustration, a lot of people think it has the same definition that we would find in the Bible. They go to a secular source and actually think that that is somehow the way that we could better understand what grace means as written in the Bible. And that is a lethal mistake. That is what the devil will snare you with. You have to stick to the Bible like glue. So this thing called grace does not mean unmerited favor. The word itself means favor. And we see different truths in the Bible about those that got favor, such as Noah. But before we go to Noah, I need to mention a few other things about this attack on grace. And then at that time, we will digress and go to Noah. Grace is also under attack because it's equated to the false teaching of once saved, always saved. Many times I have read or heard where the eternal security teachers, the ones that we call the grace changers, what they have done, they have equated their doctrine, their heresy, to the biblical term called grace. That's a masterful way of convincing people that they're not teaching heresy, but instead they're teaching what the Bible says. So they try to link it to a biblical term, but that doesn't mean it's true. It's definitely not true, even though they would try to say that it is grace. And then on top of that, the icing on the cake is, if you don't believe in their heresy, you are then teaching a work salvation. So they present it as an either-or situation. Either you believe in a security and sin gospel, security and sin grace presentation that they declare, or you're teaching works. And then they equate obedience to God to works. They equate obedience to God as legalism. And it's very clear that we're not saved by works. So therefore, just the way they would present it, people would think, they must be right. Eternal security is true. This is what grace really is. And therefore, I could remain in unrepentant sin, adultery, drunkenness, lying, theft, homosexuality, whatever the situation is, and I will retain my salvation. These are doctrines of demons. This is not what the Bible teaches. And another attack on this thing called grace is, once you're in grace, you can't get out of it. So once in grace, always in grace. And again, that's connected with eternal security, or the perseverance of the saints, or the preservation of the saints, or simply stated, once saved, always saved. Once a son, always a son. These are all synonymous terms for the same wrong, unscriptural concept, which is proven to be a snare to many people over time. And then, on top of all that, if that's not bad enough, then the devil caused more trouble, more confusion with salvation by, again, attacking grace. But this time, he's done it in a little bit different way. Now, with the Catholics, and there are nearly 1 billion Catholics on the planet, so you're talking a lot of precious souls. With the Catholics, he has concocted a false idea about Mary. And remember now, the Mary presented by Roman Catholicism is a fabrication. The Mary presented by the Catholic Church is not the Mary of the Bible. And what they teach about this fabricated Mary is she is the mediatrix and dispenser of all grace. Now, did you hear that? Mary is the mediatrix and the dispenser of all grace. Now, if you know what the New Testament says, you know how foreign that concept is, that statement is, to the message of what Jesus and the apostles taught. And they also teach we get to Jesus by first going to Mary. To Jesus through Mary. So you get to Jesus by first going to Mary. And again, this is an attack on grace. This is an attack on salvation. This is demonic doctrine. The Bible teaches there are doctrines of demons, and these are designed to ensnare us and to keep us from salvation, or if we do come to salvation, to open up a door for the devil to get at us again and bring us to spiritual death. Another clever attack on grace is that you enter grace at infant baptism. And we know this is what they teach a lot of people, and it's not just the Roman Catholics, Lutherans and others who believe that you are born again or forgiven at infant baptism, apparently would have to believe that you get grace from God for salvation at infant baptism. Again, a concept which is not Christian, and the reason I say it's not Christian because it's not biblical. It's not in the Bible. It's not New Testament. And therefore, because it's not in the New Testament, it's not in the Bible, we should reject it. It's not from God. The Bible's final authority, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and we are completely equipped, completely furnished with everything we need to know about life and godliness, salvation especially, in the Scriptures alone. And the Bible does not say these things about Mary. It does not say these things about baptism. It does not say these things about security in sin. And it certainly does not teach that grace is unmerited favor. So what is the result of all of this confusion, all of these wrong anti-scriptural concepts, this flood of false grace that we have been hit with and deluged with? Well, right now, many people are deceived even though they desire salvation. They remain unsaved. They're on the road to hell because they don't understand what grace is. Other ones are frustrated. They're hearing this different voice. They don't know what's right. They're hearing the priest say one thing. They're hearing Charles Stanley and John MacArthur and some others, Dave Hunt, say something different. But nonetheless, it's still a wrong concept on grace. And another major victory for the devil with all this confusion about grace is that it has resulted in an image of Christianity which is grossly distorted from what we see in the New Testament. The New Testament presents the Christian as being holy, somebody who's following Jesus, someone who's obeying Jesus. But that's not the case anymore. Why? Because grace has been attacked. Grace has been distorted. People don't even know what it means to believe on Jesus. They don't know. It's equated in the Bible to obey Jesus is to believe on Jesus, and to believe on Jesus is to obey Jesus. So if you're not obeying him, you're not believing on him. And all of this has helped with this massive worldwide apostasy. We are in gross spiritual darkness. And the people with the power, the influence, the support, and the money are the people that are teaching wrongly about grace, about repentance, about what it means to believe on Jesus, about Mary, infant baptism, etc. The remedy is very simple. I already mentioned what it is. It's Bible truth. We have to know what the Bible teaches, what the Bible says, so that we can be in touch with reality. The Bible message is God's reality. God wants us to know what truth is. You'll find it in the Bible. Anything that contradicts the Bible is not from the same source that gave us the Bible. So let's look a little more closely at some of the things I've already said. I mentioned Noah before. Well, in Genesis 6, verse 8, we read that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, that's the word for grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, how did he do that? Why did it happen for Noah? And if you're acquainted with the great flood, we find out that Noah and only the other ones in the ark, that's Noah's ark, eight in all, said Peter, only eight were saved. Everybody else on the planet all perished. And it has been estimated that there were 1 billion people on the planet. Now imagine that. What a message showing that the minority will be saved. Back in Noah's day, that is a very tiny, small minority that had salvation. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now that's Genesis 6:8, but in Genesis 6:9, we read this. Now listen to this. It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. It wasn't unmerited favor. If it was unmerited favor, everyone, all the people back in Noah's day would have been saved. There would not have been a great flood. They would have all found grace in the eyes of the Lord if grace is unmerited favor. It's not unmerited favor. And then we come to the second person in the Bible who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that was Lot when Lot was in Sodom. In Genesis 19:19, it says, your servant has found favor in your eyes, or grace in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. Again, the context shows that Lot was a righteous man then at that time in Sodom. And Peter comments on this. That is Lot and his time in Sodom when he was a righteous man. 2 Peter 2:7 and 8 says, if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the filthy lies of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. But a righteous man can die spiritually. A righteous man can become an unrighteous person. And we know that can happen. It's happened many times throughout the record of the Bible, Old and New Testament. We see this unfortunate thing occurring. Peter was a godly man, and then he disowned Jesus. And Jesus said, if you disown him, he'll disown you. So we know Peter, when he disowned Jesus, he was disowned. We know if you're disowned by Jesus, you're no longer part of his family. You're no longer in the body of Christ. You're no longer with salvation. So that means you're now, again, a child of the devil. He disowned Jesus. You see, the Christian walk is a walk where you have certain requirements. Part of the requirements are that you cannot disown him. That if you disown Jesus, he will disown you. It takes courage to be a Christian. Just exactly the opposite of what the world presents the Christian as. The truth is, it takes courage to be a Christian. We are in the army of God. We have to be willing to count the cost and follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul did that. He spent years in jail, had scars on his body, shed his blood 9 times in his Christian life early, may I add. That was a soldier. That was a Christian, a real Christian. The truth is, the real Apostle Paul is totally unlike the way he's presented by the grace changers. The ones that want us to think that grace is unmerited favor, they want to smear the Apostle Paul because he did something they don't want anyone to think is possible. They teach, at times you're to live holy, but then they'll turn right around and they'll say Romans 7 was the Apostle Paul. And if Romans 7, 14 through 25 was the Apostle Paul, then the Apostle Paul was not living holy. Because verse 19 says that particular person, if it was a person, it wasn't, but if it was a person, was continuously doing evil. So we have a major problem on our hands. The image of Christianity has been distorted, the definition of grace has been twisted, and what has been declared and likened unto grace is right from the pit of hell. The devil has gotten in there, and he's done a tremendous job deceiving people. And folks, we're talking about salvation itself. I don't know how anybody could believe that grace is unmerited favor. All they have to do, if they never read the Old Testament, if they don't know about Noah or Lot, then they should know what Peter said. Hopefully they read a little what Peter said in the New Testament. It says in 1 Peter 5:5, all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another because God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So again, we see that God does not just indiscriminately give grace to everybody. It's not unmerited favor. Only the humble get it. If you're not humble, he's opposing you. He opposes the proud and the arrogant. Grace goes to the humble, not the proud. It's not unmerited favor. I am not a heretic. I am not a cultist. I am not in some kind of weird false doctrine. Folks, I'm giving you what the Bible says. Read the Bible for yourself. This is the truth. Our message has a track record of bringing many people to salvation, and the truth will set a person free. And that's exactly what truth does. It will set a person free. And the grace that's being presented doesn't set a person free at all. It ensnares them. It keeps them in sin bondage and this addiction. And yet all along they're so deceived, they actually think they're going to heaven, can't get off the road to heaven. Another very important verse related to grace is Romans 5:2. The Apostle Paul taught, we gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now notice that. It was by faith that we got into grace. So if you don't have faith, you're not getting into grace. Again, showing it cannot possibly be unmerited favor. What type of faith is he talking about? He's talking about the same kind of faith that James chapter 2 describes. Not the faith of demons, but a living and saving faith, a faith that will obey, a faith that produces good works. Now, we're not saved by good works. We're saved by a faith in Jesus Christ that produces good works, which means if you're producing good works, you're not in wickedness, especially the kind of sin that will lead to death. Some people attack us and they say, well, you teach there's different degrees of sin. That's right. Of course we do. The Bible teaches that clearly. It says there's sin that leads to death and sin does not lead to death. So all sin is not the same. There's sin that does not lead to death, but there's sin that does lead to death. So they're not all the same. And the grace changers want us to think that you can commit any type of sin and you'll still inherit the kingdom of God, when it's not true. When 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10 and Ephesians 5:5 through 7 and other scriptures, Revelation 21:8, they're so crystal clear in stating that people that are adulterers, liars, thieves, homosexuals, swindlers, murderers, people involved in sorcery or witchcraft, these people will be damned unless they repent. They have to repent. They have to turn from that and turn to God humbly to get in this grace that will save them. They have to have faith in Jesus to get forgiven and to come to the salvation the Bible speaks of. It's not unmerited favor. Folks, if it was unmerited favor, it would be universalism. Everybody would get it. Everybody would have salvation. And yet Jesus said there's two gates, two roads, and two groups of people. It cannot be unmerited favor. And then besides all that, what they do, the popular, exalted, supported, respected people that are on TV, the people that get all of the opportunity to present their message to others, teach you cannot fall from grace, a direct contradiction to what the Apostle Paul, Galatians 5:2 through 4 said. Listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul, the real grace teacher, the original grace teacher. Galatians 5:2 through 4. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to everyone who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So he said you can fall from grace. So some people will say, the grace changers say, like Dave Hunt, well, this is written to people that were never saved to begin with. That's ridiculous. It says they'll be alienated from Christ. So they weren't alienated from Christ. This is written to Christians. And he's telling these Christians who were in saving grace, they were saved by grace, they would fall from grace. So grace is not how it has been presented. It's not like they say that it's unmerited favor. It's not like they say that once you're in grace, you're always in grace. And you can't get out of grace. And then we come to 2 Corinthians 6:1, also by the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote this, as God's fellow workers, we urge you to not receive God's grace in vain. So again, we see by Paul, the real grace teacher, the original grace teacher, the Apostle Paul, who the Holy Spirit inspired to write one half of the New Testament, he said we could receive the grace of God in vain. So you can fall from grace and you can receive the grace of God in vain. Now that is not eternal security. That's not once saved, always saved. That's not the perseverance of the saints. Folks, this is a different grace message because what they have taught us and what they're still teaching, and we're flooded with it in the books and TV and radio, it's not the grace of God. It's not going to get the results that people need Because of our book, The Believer's Conditional Security, we have listened to many audio teachings, read many of the books at the time that it was first published to get the correct understanding of what these people were teaching. And folks, of all the many quotes, and it has been hundreds that we have recorded in our book, one of the most outstanding and obviously blatant one that shows that eternal security is indeed a license to sin is what the beloved Charles Stanley, who's all over the radio, and he's given free radio time. What Charles Stanley teaches is this: you cannot out-sin the grace of God. That's shocking. That's unbelievable. Imagine to teach people that. You cannot out-sin the grace of God. So he doesn't have to say it's a license to sin. He says it in different words. He says you cannot out-sin the grace of God. It's not just Charles Stanley that teaches like that. John MacArthur also teaches that bad. In fact, actually worse than Charles Stanley sometimes. Now, I have no doubt that some of you out there that love John MacArthur, you're probably thinking at this particular point in time that I am lying, I am deceiving, I am misrepresenting John MacArthur, the great Calvinist, who has many books written, and his books are everywhere. Well, folks, listen to me. If you have his book, Saved Without a Doubt, the 1982 edition, page 45, we read this, quote, "Believers will often fall into sin, but their sin is not more powerful than God's grace," unquote. Well, Stanley taught you cannot out-sin the grace of God. MacArthur teaches exactly the same thing. He teaches you cannot out-sin the grace of God, but then he adds to it, and he says believers will often fall into sin. MacArthur is not as consistent as Stanley. MacArthur confuses the issue more by his teaching that you can't go into wickedness, and if you go into wickedness, you were never saved. He doesn't believe that because he believes David retained his salvation in adultery and murder. And most clear is a study Bible. The notes on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. He teaches that there are Christians that commit adultery and drunkenness and homosexuality and swindling, etc. That entire listing that's found in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. That's John MacArthur. That's Calvinism. That's eternal security. That's once saved, always saved. And then, to confuse the issue even more, from a different source entirely, Catholicism. Catholicism is something that has been compromised with, especially through the ecumenical movement, how these people have exalted and praised Pope John Paul II, especially after his death. Billy Graham went on and said about his own salvation that he's not sure about his own salvation, but one thing he knows, that Pope John Paul II certainly went to heaven. He's sure that he made it. He's sure that he had salvation. Folks, this is shocking. This is unbelievable. Pope John Paul II taught that Mary was co-redeemer with Jesus. He also taught that Mary is sovereign. And he also held to the typical Roman Catholic view of Mary. And remember what that is. At the beginning of this message, I mentioned that the Roman Catholic Church says that we get to Jesus through Mary and that Mary is the mediatrix and dispenser of all graces. So you can see the problem isn't just in the Protestant world, it's also in the Catholic world about grace. How do we get in this thing by which we are saved? How can we find salvation? I want to know. I want to know. Folks, the only way you will ever know is to get into the Bible. You have to get in the Bible and read it. You're hearing me now. Later on, at a different time, you're going to hear somebody say something to the contrary. You won't know what to believe unless you get in the Scriptures. Folks, I want to ask you a question. Are you standing in grace? In other words, are you now living a self-controlled, upright, and godly life? Because that is grace. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says this: "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." That's grace. Grace is not unmerited favor. If the grace of God has appeared to all men and all men are not saved, then it cannot be unmerited favor. It's not given everybody. You have to be humble to get this. You have to have faith to get into the grace of God by which you're saved, that you could have salvation. That faith has to be in Jesus. Not Jesus and Mary, not Jesus and the sacraments, or Jesus and going to church, any church or any organization. So we have a major problem, a serious problem. a distorted grace, an attack on grace, which has left many religious people, sincere people, without the salvation they crave. Folks, the Bible teaches, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach, otherwise you have believed in vain. The true gospel of grace teaches you can believe in vain. The true gospel of grace teaches you can fall from grace, you can receive it in vain. It's not unmerited favor. If it was unmerited favor, everybody, including the unrepentant drunkards and liars and murderers, would all have salvation. So to get saving grace, you got to be humble. You got to humbly go to God. Turn away from your idols to serve the true and the living God. Go directly to Jesus, like Jesus said. Jesus invited people, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He never said, go to my mother. He never said, go to Mary. He said, come unto me. At another time, he commanded us to ask him for living water. So folks, have you asked Jesus for living water? And we're to place our faith in Jesus. He alone has the only name under heaven in which salvation is found. We are to follow him. Jesus described his sheep as those who follow him. If you're not following Jesus, please stop describing yourself as a Christian. You're not a Christian. If you're not following Jesus, you're not his sheep. You're not saved. And this demonic attack that obedience equals works equals legalism is from the devil. Folks, if you got a true saving faith in Jesus, you obey. If you love Jesus, you obey him. You don't have to sin. You don't have to yield to the devil. You don't have to sin all the time. Did you hear that? You don't have to do this. I was talking to somebody who told me this. The Christian is the person that slips into the swimming pool or gets pushed into the swimming pool, but the unbeliever is the person that dives into the swimming pool. And a swimming pool is sin. So in other words, everybody's in a swimming pool. Both the believer and a non-believer. The Christian and a non-Christian. The child of God and the child of the devil, they're all in a swimming pool. One slips in, one gets pushed in, the others dive in, but they're all in a swimming pool. That's not the image of a Christian. That's not a real Christian. That's not a saint. That's not a saved person. Are you listening to me? There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. There's no such thing as unmerited favor equals grace. And there's no such thing as being in grace and living a grace life unless you are now, at this present moment, living a self-controlled, upright, and godly life. The Apostle Paul was godly. He was holy. He was obedient. And you can do the same. You have access to the same grace. He did it. You can live godly. You don't have to yield to the devil's temptations. There are no temptation has ever come to you that you had to yield to. And when you receive the truth of God, the real message, you commit to Jesus, you will be set free from your sin addictions. The counterfeit grace produces counterfeit Christians. The true grace, the true plan of salvation, produces real, genuine Christians. People that are set free from their sin addictions. People that are not lusting. We're in an explosion of lust. People think everybody's lustful because they are lustful. They think they are a Christian and they're lustful, and therefore everybody else that professes to be a Christian, they too are lustful. That's a lie. That's not true. If you're lustful, you're an adulterer, and adulterers will be damned. You don't have to lust, folks. You don't have to lie. You don't have to cheat. You don't have to steal. You don't have to get drunk. You can live godly in this wicked world according to the Bible. So these people are grace changers. But folks, listen to this. As bad as it is, and it's horrible, it's absolutely terrible. I mean, they're actually saying that Mary's co-redeemer with Jesus, besides all these other problems from Stanley and MacArthur, Dave Hunt, the whole list goes on and on. And then, to make it even worse, there are people out there that reject eternal security. And then they also teach a counterfeit grace. They teach a license for immorality, such as Robert Shank, David Pawson, French Arrington, David Kirkwood. All these people are snaring precious souls by their doctrine. They teach it takes a practice of sin, a habitual lifestyle type sinning before you lose your salvation. Imagine that. They teach one sin cannot bring loss of salvation. That is a lie. If you disown Jesus one time, he'll disown you. If you commit adultery one time, folks, once, you're an adulterer according to the Bible. And the Bible says adulterers will not inherit the kingdom. I'm asking you, is that the Bible or is it not the Bible? It's what the Bible says clearly in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Revelation 21, 8. And so many people think that God's holding them, God's keeping them, and therefore, if you try to hold on or guard yourself, you're not in grace. That's not grace. In fact, the grace changers have actually taught against the very thing that Christians need to do to enter the kingdom of God according to what Jesus taught. And they badmouth Christians that teach like Jesus. Jesus said in Revelation 3:11 that we're to hold on and not let anyone take our crown. Did you hear that? I said Jesus taught that we are to hold on to what we have so that no man will take our crown. If that is not grace, then Jesus never taught grace. And he's in error. But folks, that's a lie. Jesus did teach grace. He did teach the truth. Whatever Jesus taught, I'm going to believe it. You can call it something other than grace if you want, but I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to believe what Jesus said, and he told us what to do, and that's what I'm going to do. I believe if you want to go ahead and mock that and attack me, you're really attacking what Jesus said, and you're going to stand before him one day and account to him for opposing his teaching. It's what he said. And because people are not holding on and not guarded as they need to be, their soul is in jeopardy. The most valuable possession you have is your soul. And your soul is in jeopardy because of these demonic teachings. Folks, hold on to what you have. Don't let Stanley deceive you. Don't let MacArthur deceive you. Come on, folks. It takes faithfulness to God and loving God first. Love him more than your life. You know what victory is? Victory is not how long you live. It's not how much money you get in this world. Victory is dying with a pure heart so you can escape hell where most people will go and enter God's paradise kingdom. That is victory. That is real victory. You are in a battle to stay clean. You're in a war against sin. And the devil has false teachers that have people deluded. Now listen to this. The same one that gave us Ephesians 2:8-9, which has been overused 10,000 times and misunderstood 100,000 times. Three chapters later in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul wrote this. Now listen to this. Ephesians 5:5-7. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Don't be deceived. These people on TV, on radio, that write the books, they got empty words. They're teaching contrary to what Paul taught, the real grace teacher. Do not be deceived, the Bible says. Don't be partners with them. Did you hear me? Don't partake of their wickedness. And then the same teacher, the Apostle Paul, Titus 3:7. This is the grace teacher. Listen to this. Titus 3:7. He said to Titus, now listen. Having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Well, tell me, does that sound like eternal security to you? We might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life, Titus 3:7. The Apostle Paul taught a conditional security. He was a no eternal security Christian. Did you hear that? The Apostle Paul was a no eternal security Christian. That was before the devil invented the term eternal security. Before once saved, always saved terminology was ever used by the devil. But folks, they battle this same wicked concept. Jude said these people were grace changers. We're to fight against them, not support that teacher. Even if it comes from the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church denies eternal security, but they still distort grace. They teach we get grace in a wrong way. They don't even know how to receive Jesus. They think receiving Jesus, they do that through the communion wafer that the priest allegedly consecrates and gets transubstantiated into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, and which they also worship as God. So we're talking about an extremely dark situation. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. The bulk of the spiritual leaders will be damned. And certainly the bulk of the people going to church will be lost. And those of you that hear this message, you are going to be lost unless you learn the message of the Bible and put it into practice. Jesus said, Luke 8:21, my mother and brothers are those that hear the word of God and they put it into practice. Well, they're telling us, first of all, you really can't put it into practice. You got to sin all the time. Now, come on, folks, wake up. Of course you can put it into practice. Don't believe the devil's men. Believe what the Bible says. And just because they're popular and they appear godly and they can quote the scripture, do not be deceived. The devil can quote scripture. Just because they're elevated doesn't mean that they're preaching truth. The spiritual leaders in Jesus' day were all apostate. They were all false teachers. Those were the ones that were the chief enemies of Jesus. They were antichrist. They were the ones that had him crucified. So just because somebody's in spiritual leadership does not mean that they are representing God's truth. Please study the Bible, change accordingly. The Bible is final authority. And if you go to heaven, it'll be because you put into practice the message of the Bible. If you go to hell, like most people will, it'll be because you did not put into practice the message of the Bible. God bless you.